when you're gone, that doesn't say you're not needed. It just says you've been doing a good job empowering people. So
yeah, absolutely, Taylor. You said that so well. Thank you so much. It's nice to be able to honor that and Steve's work.
Yeah. I'm excited to know that you're going to be joining us next week with John to discuss braiding sweetgrass for young adults. And are we going to be joined on Zoom by Monique Gray Smith?
We are, yeah. So I get to bring a special guest, the author of the young adult version, which will be really exciting. Then she'll be here at the end of March, too.
That is exciting. We just interviewed her yesterday for Book Lovers Cafe. It will air on the 14th. It's a half hour interview with Chris Wilson, and they go into some depth about, you know, the wisdom about gratitude of all sort. And it was, I have to say, you know, sitting in the engineering booth with my headphones on, just listening, she has a lot of interesting things to say. So and I might add a great voice. So it'll be good to have her on Zoom with us. It should be interesting. I understand, Melody, that you got a grant.
Yes. I mean, talk about it takes a village. I got a library capital project grant through the Department of Commerce for our bathroom remodel to make it more ADA accessible.
Well, that's not what I was thinking about. I was thinking about to buy copies of the book.
Oh, that. Yeah, gosh, I just jumped right ahead.
You're right. You're on to infrastructure.
Yeah, I know. I was excited. I was just thinking about all the cool public works things to talk about with Steve. Yeah, so the Library Foundation gave us $10,000 to get nearly 900 copies of the book. It's the most we've ever had of a single book. So it's pretty amazing.
So you will have books available for people who haven't picked up a copy.
Yes, there are books available right now at the library. So don't walk, run right now.
Do you have yours?
I don't
have them.
Yeah. Steve, I want you to stop there on the way back to City Hall and pick up a copy.
I'll do it.
And because we discussed before we went on the air, both Steve and I have a little trouble sort of entering the book. And, you know, just getting started with reading, it's so easy to browse the internet instead.
I know. That's why your librarian is here to encourage you.
I know. So I'll commit to you. I'll read it. And you read it.
Yes.
So let's read it. And then we can,
okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Well, I really am excited to find out we're going to be doing that. That's a great way to welcome John back, too. And I think there's going to be a lot of events involving the community read. And this is one of them. So good thinking. Good plan.
Thank you so much, Taylor. I mean, as John knows how much I love to say leaders are readers, and something that's so meaningful is that John reads the community read every year and deeply engages with the event. So that's so meaningful. It sets such a great tone for our community.
That's interesting. You know, I read it every year, but I don't always engage with the events. And so this year, at least, I've been sitting in on some interviews. So
there you go. Well, there's a little something for everybody, right? There's different points of connection.
What do you mean by leaders are readers? Elaborate.
We could have a whole separate show about this, Taylor, but I think that one of the best ways to build emotional intelligence and build empathy, and this is science evidence-based proven, is to read. I mean, you get to walk a mile in another person's shoes, especially when you read fiction. So I'm a strong believer in that if leaders want to have more empathy and have really strong emotional intelligence, reading is a key factor to that.
That's an interesting view. I know last time you were on, I think we discussed a leadership book that you guys are reading as a team, right?
We talked about Brené Brown's book. Yeah,
that's
and Steve is a big, we share a lot of great books together too. So,
yeah.
You're a fan of Brené Brown?
I'm very much a fan.
I am too. I've only, of course, seen her on the internet doing TED Talks.
Yeah.
You know, but she's got a lot to say. Interesting. Okay, why don't we move on to infrastructure now that we've given that little plug for next week?
I love it.
What is new in the world of infrastructure for the city?
Well, let's key off what Melody started on and talk a little bit about grants for the library and some infrastructure there.
You did. You mentioned as we went in that there's stuff going on at the library.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, when we think of city infrastructure, we think of streets and water and sewer. Mm-hmm. But buildings are a big part of our infrastructure, too. So take your house maintenance if you own a home or mm-hmm. have done maintenance on a home, multiply it by about 100, and that's what we deal with in city facilities. The complexity and challenges of keeping city facilities up is tremendous. And they suffer from deferred maintenance just like our roads. So it doesn't matter if you're in the bottom of the Mountain View boiler room trying to fix things or City Hall. And most recently, through Melody's advocacy for keeping the infrastructure up at the library, uh-huh. we have some projects there.
ADA accessible?
Yeah. So I like to say, like, Steve and I make the perfect different two sides of a coin and a team, because he's representing how important physical infrastructure is in our community, our buildings, especially our aging historic buildings, our roads. And then the library has, you know, important physical infrastructure, but we also have the social infrastructure. So we help build, like, what kind of community you want to live in. So I worked on a grant to help our city be able to do more of this deferred maintenance on our library. And there's a special grant through the state, the Library Capital Project, that Steve Theringer helped mm-hmm. really push through a couple of years ago. And we got $172,000 to make our bathrooms more ADA accessible and replace our aging windows in the addition of the library. So slowly but surely, we've been working to keep our library maintained so that it'll be here for another 100 years, which is really exciting. So we're hoping to do this work in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Repairing the fabric of the building so we can have it. Yeah.
And there's a couple elements, the fabric, the windows, but there's also the internal guts of the building, right? The mm-hmm. systems inside. So those are also things that we have needs, elevators,
the HVAC.
Heating, air conditioning type stuff. So, mm-hmm. so, these grants are for more for the exterior. Well, the bathrooms are interior, and those are a key element, you know.
Is there some City Hall work going on?
City Hall work, too. We're using some of our American Rescue Plan money for the library to couple with the grant.
This was federal money associated with COVID stuff, right?
Yeah, and what I like about this is the federal money is supposed to help you recover from the impacts of COVID. So we've invested a good chunk of that money into our city facilities, mm-hmm. and I think that's a good way to propel us forward and also reduce burdens in the future. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. some of the work we're doing in City Hall is to retrofit some of the space. Some of that space that was originally built in 2007 was mm-hmm. never really finished.
Yeah.
So we're doing some of that work. And then there's just the comfort of employees. Sun beating in the summer just cooks that building. In the winter, the heating system wasn't working.
Not to mention we've never had air conditioning, right?
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of work going on. And one of our folks I'd like to get in here with you is Michael Todd. He's our head of our parks and facilities.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah. And he just works right across the hallway over here in Mountain View. Mm-hmm. And they're very creative, our facilities team, and they're doing great work.
Yeah.
No. I want to add, Taylor, I think you know, Steve joined our team in March of 2020. What a fun time to join a new organization. But one of the things I remember, because Steve is so strategic, he talked about how there would probably be federal funding coming through the COVID pandemic crisis, and he said plan ahead now for shovel ready projects, so we're ready. And because of Steve's leadership in that, we did as a team, we planned for a lot of projects so we'd be ready when this funding came. And I can't say how much I appreciate that, Steve, as we're moving forward now and we're starting to see the progress on these projects.
That's interesting. So you have kind of a foresight. This was coming.
Good. And everybody at the table, Melody's being gracious or being complimentary. You know, I think everybody at the table, when you've lived through some of these problems in the past, like the 2008 crash,
right?
You start to know the rhythm
of
the flow of funds. And I think that was really, John's leadership and all the directors, you know, thinking ahead to what's the best way to invest these funds when they come our way to help city government continue to provide services.
Shovel ready is sort of it comes up in this context, but I think it has it has a sort of a specific technical meaning. I mean, I think, does it have to do with what kind of projects can be funded, where they have to be in the development cycle before you can get the money slapped down on the table and do them?
The typically granting entities, whether it's the federal government agencies, they want you to be able to produce the results that the grant offer. So shovel ready means it's ready to be, you're ready to spend the funds. You're ready to implement the project.
So you've done planning and design.
Planning, design, permitting if you can, if it's necessary.
Yeah.
The last thing they want to have is that funding sitting there for 10 years and not being used.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was one of those projects the lift station?
Is that
a different?
Actually, that is one of those projects, and that happened to be federal funds that went to the state that then got allocated to the city. So so the Mill Road lift station, the Evans Vista property purchase, that was also part of that American Rescue Plan money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where else is it going?
Well, the county gets quite a bit of it.
No,
so
but I mean
within the city?
Within the city.
Oh, my goodness. We've purchased some equipment. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm trying to remember now. There's a long list. Yeah. So we didn't put it all in one spot. It's spread out through numerous things. Do you remember?
I think it's equitably distributed throughout our departments. And a lot of it has to do with investing in our staff. Like what Steve was talking about with the city workspaces, like our way of working has changed. So the needs of staff have changed. So being really able to adapt that and make sure staff have the best workplaces, I think, is really important.
Yeah. Oh, and another location that where considerable investments being made is in with Cary Height, and in the golf course discussion and the Healthier Together,
and parks.
The pool and parks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's we've had that discussion.
Yes.
There's a whole ongoing process there that we're sort of in the middle of.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other piece of this, too, is we're currently, because we're not shovel ready for this yet, we're working on a scope of work to restore the exterior of the Charles Pink House, which is the building at the library that's blue.
Yep.
I have a dream of having it be painted historic salmon pink someday. That would be accurate.
So people will stop asking
that building
you.
That building goes back to 1868, and the Jefferson County Historical Society actually has the tools that were used to build that building and the Rothschild House. So we have some ARPA money set aside to help with the restoration project, which is going to be so important to preserve our wonderful historic houses in the community.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I warned you, so I'm gonna go ahead and ask.
Sure.
So the new mill agreement, which changed the way money flowed. We're about a year and a half, I would guess, into it, and we now have some money flowing in.
Yes,
but we have some new responsibilities for maintaining the gravity water system that we didn't have before. What's going on with that?
I'm glad you asked. That agreement's working quite well. And the mill's changed hands, and it's survived the transition of new owners. The money is flowing in, and we're investing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how we can invest without conflict. You can just go in and say, these projects need to be done. Let's start working on them.
And this is one of those bucket things. This bucket is specifically for the gravity water system.
Specifically for the water system.
Yeah.
So we're already fixing some of the cathodic protection systems on the old steel pipeline. We've got
That's a great word, isn't it?
Yeah, cathodic.
Cathodic. Those are cathodes.
Cathodes
are like zincs on a boat, right?
Yes, in the maritime industry, they're zincs.
Yeah.
Really big ones.
Yeah. So you put them into the pipes so the pipes won't dissolve.
It's
a sacrificial.
Sacrificial. And, 1928 pipe, it's kind of on its last legs. But if we didn't have those systems, I think they installed them in the 50s.
Yeah.
Then we would have been done a long time ago.
So you're doing a little renewal on that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. We're doing that. And then we're starting in on looking at the condition of the pipe system. We were going to do a more in-depth analysis on the system.
Sort of a survey of are you running cameras down the – well, I guess it has water in it. You can't do that.
We can't do that, but we'll be looking at some places we may take some samples out of the pipe, and then they have special machines that they can inspect through the metal, basically to get a thickness on the metal.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing some of that. And then the other thing is we're working on Lord's Lake, and that dam – the East Dam is needs a retrofit, and so we're doing studies to get that retrofitted. So, things are happening, and it's exciting. the best part I love to report out to the public is because we're metering the water and the mill's paying for every gallon of water, just like the city, mm-hmm. there's been numerous cases where we've already seen increases in conservation by the mill.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is...
That's incredible.
One of the key tenets of that agreement was to create a incentive for conservation.
Right, and not just a lot. Yeah.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Melody?
Yeah, and Taylor, I don't know if you know this, but one of the first projects that Steve and I worked on together with Shelley Levins at the Historic Society was we had a talk about the mill and about the water system that's recorded on the library's website. We did that in early 2021. So it's like you just have no idea how much rich history there is around our water system and mill until you see this. Like people who had been here a long time said they learned a lot from that.
Well, that is interesting. I want to mention that you're listening to Bureaucracy Now! On KPTZ. I'm mm-hmm. Taylor Clark, and I'm joined today by Melody Sky Weaver from the Port Townsend Public Library and Steve King, Director of Public Works for the City of Port Townsend. And it might be a little late to let you know, but if you have questions, you can email them to dj@kptz.org, and the little red thing will go right there. And Steve is keeping his eye on it. If you have a question for Steve or for Melody, shoot it in. But we have, I think, about another 10 minutes. Boathaven. No.
Boathaven.
No, the other way around.
Oh, Point Hudson.
Point Hudson.
Yes.
So very exciting. I went down, I watched, I realize it's a port project, not a city project, but it was very exciting to see the new breakwater, what do they call it? Do they call it the South Breakwater?
Jetty.
The North Jetty.
North Jetty.
North Jetty. And yeah. It's because they overlap north and south.
Yes.
It's actually on the east side.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So a little confusing for me. Yeah. But the North Jetty is now complete.
Yeah.
And they completed that ahead of schedule, I think.
They did it ahead of schedule. Everything I've heard is it went off really well. Of course, it looks fabulous.
It does.
And to see that equipment working out there was very interesting.
It really was. Did you also go down on your lunch hour
and yeah.
watch them move rocks?
Yeah.
There is just something about that. Melody, did you look?
No, I haven't, because I've been at home recovering from a broken ankle, but these are all the things on my list I cannot wait to do when I'm able to.
That was exciting. So, but they have the next year is the South Jetty.
That's correct,
And what is the schedule for that?
They start the day after Boathaven, and they go...
Wooden boat. Day after wooden boat.
Day after wooden boat. And then they go as fast as they can. Of course, it goes into winter, so the more work they get done while it's daylight. And
how did they finish so quickly this year? Did they have – was the weather particularly good or
– Well, I think they just had, you know, a good skilled contractor. I think the port had a good set of plans, and they didn't run into huge – obstacles, you know.
There weren't as lot of surprises.
There weren't a lot of surprises. So maybe the weather cooperated a little bit as well, although we had some pretty good storms and they managed to get through those. But yeah, it was just, you know, when they bring in that size of equipment, it's pretty incredible what you can get done.
I like the way you shared the kudos. You know, it was contractor and the port and the plans and the weather. You know, that sort of everybody did good work there.
Yeah, really did. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Well, I'm excited to see it because I had, as I mentioned before the show started, I was very sad about the condition of the breakwater, and I thought that's it. We're gonna lose. Point Hudson, we won't have any more wooden boats, you know, they'll never find the money, and yet it all came together and it's happening. So it's exciting to see it down there.
I think that, you know, kudos to the port, Aaron Berg, the director, mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. commission. They're being very aggressive about funding. You know, you talked about ARPA funding and finding. They're just really, those are huge benefits to not only the port as an entity, but our community and our city because of where they're located in the core of our city. And just really thankful for their being very, you know, taking the ball and running with it.
Okay. Last time we talked, there was great sadness along the water with a, let me think if I have this correct, cement asbestos pipe.
Yes. Yeah.
It was a pipe that was a wonderful, exciting new material when they put it in the 50s. Not so great now, apparently.
No, not so great.
What have you found out? What needs doing?
What needs doing? So we have a contractor to come in with special camera equipment mm-hmm. to look at the rest of our what we call AC asbestos concrete pipe, and then we will be figuring out strategies to rehabilitate if we can.
Is this a way of coating it or something?
Yeah, it's a way of actually lining the inside of the pipe with almost like a bladder.
Yeah,
that gives the pipe maybe a 50 years more life.
Wow, that's a significant increase in lifespan.
Yeah, and certainly better than the alternative than digging up Water Street down to the ferry terminal. You know, that would be not fun.
And a bad idea considering that we just did Water Street down, right. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when you say down to the ferry terminal, we're not talking about past the ferry terminal.
Right. You're
talking about from the lift station to the ferry terminal.
That's correct.
That's the part you're worried about.
Yes.
Oh, well, that.
Not as bad, but still not fun.
Well, it'd be easy to fill. Hey, you had we've had slides. How what's the slide situation? I'm sure everybody looks at the slide and goes, "Well, what's the city doing now?"
Yeah, the slides are fun because it's part of Earth's natural process,
right?
And it's a little bit beyond human control without tremendous, you know, investment. So we haven't had any more slides, knock on wood.
Yep.
And, you know, but you can look up there and you can see where the cracks are and where the roots are. And we know there's going to be more sloughs and slides along all of our bluffs, you know, including the ones into the water on the around the perimeter. And so part of our thinking is we need to think a little bit long term, especially where it is on the beach. You know, what is the erosion rate of those bluffs over time, especially with sea level rise?
Yeah.
So those are some other things that are out on the horizon that this community is going to need to wrestle with.
Speaking of sea level rise, I have I like to finish with a song, and we're not ready to go there yet. But I was gonna ask you. We were geeking out earlier about the relationship between tides and atmospheric pressure.
Yes,
and there were some very exciting photos that I saw of was it ACI boats being flooded out in the mm-hmm. in the boat haven? And I realize now we're into the port again. But I think you were mentioning to me that the port has some plans to look at some things that they can do.
Yeah.
What kinds of things can they do when the parking lot is wet? I mean,
that's a great question. And I'm going to highlight again how the when public entities are working together, how well it works. So
this is a theme John goes into regularly. This is and it's important.
It's incredible.
So critical. Yeah. A rising tide lifts all boats, right?
There you go.
I think that's the line that's going on the summary that we pushed. We put
there
on
we
line.
Go. Rising tide.
I love
lifts.
That. Yeah, well done, I feel like Melody. It's quintessential Port Kansas.
Yeah.
So the city you're talking about, atmospheric pressure, storm surge. So when we had that event, that actually very much validated a study the city just finished up, mm-hmm. talking about the impacts of sea level rise. And so the port's now going to take, because of that event, they are now going to take an opportunity to look for basically extending what we call the water walk, which is connection of Larry Scott Trail down to the ferry terminal.
Yes.
And how that might be able to protect the port against sea level rise. Kind of a, you can start to imagine maybe a little bit of an elevated water walk that provides some water protection.
Right, okay. When I think about this, so there is, you know, there is a little trail as you walk past the ferry terminal. That there's a nice bulkhead there anyway.
Yeah.
And then the trail kind of scoots around under some condos and the Bayview Cafe.
Yeah.
And but you're suggesting that they might continue that along the front of the boat haven, and that would provide them a dike or a levee, right?
Basically a dike or levee, yeah. And it's something that's been in the community's plans for many, many years, is to connect Larry Scott with Point Hudson coming back to the jetty.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool to have a walkway all the way connecting to Larry Scott.
This is good because it's a dual purpose project.
Yes.
It serves a recreational requirement and it serves an infrastructure requirement.
Yes, exactly.
Now, is that a gleam in their eye, or do you know where that is in the process?
So the funding that they're requesting right now, what they're looking into is start with the permitting design type planning. And then that moves right into infrastructure funding. And the beautiful thing about how the port accesses funds is they have access to a lot of federal emergency relief funds. Mm-hmm. So when we have a flood event or a high, king tide event, mm-hmm. that's an opportunity for them to seek mitigation funding for future events and to do any repairs that may result.
Well, and I thought it was interesting. We were talking about the King Tide event, and mm-hmm. it isn't just when the tide is high.
Right.
It's when the tide is high in combination with low atmospheric pressure.
Yeah.
And it raises the sea level even more.
Yes.
And
then you stack wind on top of that.
Right.
Yeah.
And now somebody's in a whole lot of hurt.
That's right.
And they're not building any boats down there.
Right.
And that's not good.
Yeah.
Melody, we've completely geeked out here on infrastructure.
I love it. Are you kidding? I think this is so incredible. It's something I could geek out on, too. I appreciate how much I learned. There was one thing, because I wanted to tie in a book when mm-hmm. you were bringing up the tides. There's this wonderful book we have at the library called Tides, The Science and Spirit of the Ocean by Jonathan White. And he gave a talk at the library a few years ago. But the book is marvelous. If you want to geek out on tides, I highly recommend that book.
I love
there's
it.
A that's
that is
wow.
so cool. Look, Melody, you rock.
There's why have librarians? That's why.
That's why.
That's why. All right. I want to thank Melody Sky Weaver from the Port Townsend Public Library and Steve King, who's been acting as the city manager while John Morrow is away, director of public works. And as usual, great to have both of you here. I look forward to seeing you next week. And thank you for joining me on Bureaucracy Now. And the music. I played a different version of this last week. Led Zeppelin did the song. This is the Memphis Mini version from 1920. I think it's from 1929. It has to do with the Great Mississippi Flood of 1927. Oh. Which flooded out uncountable people in the Mississippi Delta region, and the Mississippi Delta when they're talking about that, they're not just talking about the part down south mm-hmm. of New Orleans. They're really talking about up higher in Mississippi in what they call Delta Blues. It's all flat, and so as you might imagine, the song is "When the Levee Breaks."
Oh wow!
So, let's see if I can get this to.
Ah, perfect.
There we are. Okay. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thanks
so
much.